Thank you for listening to this sermon from Goodwill Church, located in New York's Hudson Valley. Goodwill Church is on a mission to be a hub of revival in the Northeast and beyond. For more information about our church, please visit goodwillchurch.org. Now, here's the sermon.
Morning, church. Our reading this morning comes from Psalm 90. It's on page 588 in the church Bibles. When I first read this, I was a little shaky. And then I realized that the context, it was a prayer of Moses. And think about that as I read these words, so you don't get a little shaky like I did. Lord, you have been our dwelling place in all generations, before the mountains were brought forth, wherever you had formed the earth and the world, from everlasting to everlasting, you are God. You return man to dust and say, "Return, O children of man, for 1,000 years in your sight are but as yesterday, when it is past, or as a watch in the night. You sweep them away as with a flood. They're like a dream, like grass that is renewed in the morning. In the morning it flourishes and is renewed, and in the evening it fades and withers. For we are brought to an end by your anger. By your wrath we are dismayed. You have set our iniquities before you, our secret sins in the light of your presence. For all our days pass away under your wrath. We bring our years to an end like a sigh. The years of our life are 70, or even by reason of strength, 80, yet their span is but toil and trouble. They are soon gone and we fly away. Who considers the power of your anger and your wrath according to the fear of you? So teach us to number our days, that we may get a heart of wisdom. Return, O Lord, how long? Have pity on your servants. Satisfy us in the morning with your steadfast love, that we may rejoice and be glad in all our days. Make us glad for as many days as you have afflicted us, and for as many years as we have seen evil. Let your work be shown to your servants, and your glorious power to their children. Let the favor of the Lord our God be upon us, and establish the work of our hands upon us. Yes, establish the work of our hands." Would you pray with me? Dear Father, our time on earth is so brief compared to the great I Am. You are without beginning and end, without change. We count on your steadfast love. Forgive us when we grumble about our toil and circumstance. Help us to use the days you've granted us wisely and purposefully. Holy Spirit, would you do something special in each of us when it's all said and done and the final chapter of our life is closed? We want to hear you say, "Well done, my faithful servant." Lord Jesus, we look longingly for your return at any moment. It seems you have tarried, but we know your return is certain. We ask your favor upon our pastor. Bring the truth to life through his sermon. By your grace, Lord, may we hear your voice and give it heed. Pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
life, your life, my life, the life that we witness with friends and family, when we examine it, here's the outcome. Life itself is brief. Whether it's a day or whether it's 90 years, it's almost as if it's too short. And when life comes to an end, it's a constant reminder that this is not the way God intended it to be. Last month, in the news, there was a story of an Indian man, a marathon runner, who lived to be 114, right? And what killed him was a car accident, right? But even at 114, life is short. And in the end, here's the question, right? It's when your life, my life, comes to an end, what are you going to be remembered for? Because 100 years from now, here's the question you have to ask yourself. Is anybody going to remember you? And if you're asking, then who's going to remember the things we do? Then the answer to that question is God. He is the one who sees and keeps a record and an account of the things we do for Him. And sometimes it's hard to measure because early on in life, we think we have plenty of time. And it's only as we get older and older, it seems that the days go by quicker and quicker. The years fly by. And we wrestle with that because sometimes the only thing that's valuable to you and to me is our time. Right, and a study was done a few years ago, and the study just pointed to certain conditions that we find ourselves today, especially our young adults. And this study is an individual, Dino Ambrosi, and as he went to college, he identified some struggles that he was having as he was attending Berkeley. But I believe it can help you and me also just to see where we are in life. And let's see, right? And here's the information that he discovered. This comes from a TED Talk that he gave in 2023, right? And it's entitled The Battle for Your Time, right? Because things are always trying to consume your time. And this graph represents the months left of an 18-year-old, assuming that that 18-year-old would live to 90 years old. So there's approximately 864 dots there, each one representing a month. So you can convert that to 72 years is what this 18-year-old would have, right? And sometimes we ask ourselves, how are we going to use our time to glorify God? But you have to calculate, well, how much time do you have? Right, And here's what he discovered, right? That one third, right, of those months are going to be used sleeping, right? 288 months. And out of what's left, right, you're going to use 126 months either going to work or school. Out of those, you're going to use 18 months driving here and there, right? You're going to use 36 months eating and cooking, preparing your food, right? You're going to use another 36 months doing your chores and errand, right? And you're going to use 27 months going to the bathroom or taking care of your hygiene, right? And out of that, we would find that we have approximately 334 months that would be dedicated to the service of God, right? And if one of those months was used to do ministry, right? Again, 100 years from now, that is the month that God would capture. But remember, I said that this survey is of a current 18-year-old, right? And you ask yourself, well, what are the things that a current 18-year-old does, right? And for the most part, they spend a lot of time on their phone, on their device, surfing, right? If they eat a meal, they post what that meal is just to see how many likes they get, right? And statistics say, based on where they are today and based upon the amount of time that they spend currently, that 18-year-old is going to probably spend 312 years surfing, right? That's about 26 years if he was to live to 90, right? Watching your Netflix, right? Getting caught up on everything. And I post that, right? Because for most of us in this room right now, we're not 18 years old, right? Like for myself, right? I'll be 63. So based on this chart, I have about 26 years left, right? And how am I going to use that time? Right. And that's the question God is asking you, right? It's how are you going to use that time? Right. Teach us to number our days, is what he said, that our hearts may have wisdom. And this is something that you and I can learn from Moses, as Greg said. This is one of the only Psalms that Moses penned, right? And if you know anything about the Psalms, there's about 150 of them, all of them broken up into these five different books, right? And in each one of the books represent a season or a period in the life of Israel. And we know this to be true because when the Dead Sea Scrolls were discovered in the caves of Qumran, those scrolls had these divisions in place. And when you look at the books and study them, you know that book 3 is from their period of being in exile in Babylon. And when you come to that last psalm in book 3, which is Psalm 89, the question that they're asking is, how long? How long? And we find the answers to that question in book 4, which is why I believe Moses is the first one, 90. Because Moses captures that period of time when the Israelites were in captivity for 400 years. Moses is the one who witnessed God taking them through the Red Sea, Moses is the same one that experienced the 40 years in the wilderness. Right? And when we look at that, we can see the reflection of that time of the Israelites being in exile in Babylon. Right? But there's so much that you and I can learn. And one of the things that stand out for me is Moses' attitude. Right? He's never bitter. Right? Doesn't mean that he doesn't mess up, he doesn't sin, right? But we can see his focus and trust in God, even though he, by his own actions, doesn't get the opportunity to go into the promised land. So one of the things you need to try to do is pinpoint, well, when in the life of Moses would he have written this, right? And many historians would put it during the time of Numbers 20, because Numbers 20 captures some amazing things in the life of Moses, and you will know them as soon as I say them. Numbers 20 talks about the death of Miriam, his sister. And that must have been difficult for Moses, you know, having his sister. For most of his life, you know, Moses at this time was 120 years old or creeping up on that. It was during this time that Moses also got upset and he struck the rock. And as a result, that sin prevented him from entering the promised land. And then near the end of Numbers 20, you have the death of Aaron. Right? So he's alone. And the only one he has is God. And we believe that as a result of those events, he wrote this song. Right, so let us give our attention. A prayer of Moses, the man of God. Lord, you have been our dwelling place in all generations. Before the mountains were brought forth, wherever you have formed the earth and the world from everlasting to everlasting, you are God. Right? This is a prayer that Moses is reciting. And he's acknowledging, right, that Adonai, you have been our dwelling place. Not just his dwelling place during their time in the wilderness, but he's saying during the time of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, you have been our dwelling place. You have been the very God that we can find shelter in. It's a reminder of John 15, where we learn to abide in God. That God himself and God alone is our tabernacle. Right? A place of protection. A place where you and I can find rest. And it's a consistent picture of God's character. It's not as if one day he's our dwelling place and then the next day he's not. Right? He's consistent. If you seek him, you'll find him. He's there for you. He's been there for all generations who have sought him. Before anything was created, before the mountains have been in place, before he even formed the earth, he is a God from everlasting to everlasting, right? It's Moses' way of saying you are from eternity's past to eternity's future, right? It's a beautiful picture of who God is. Right, and then there's a transition in the psalm, right? Because all of a sudden, what we see is this drastic picture of the effects of sin on man. You have a holy God, and then we have sinful man. And God chooses to be in relationship with us. Right in. You return man to the dust and say, return, O child of man, right? That quotation would be God speaking. Right in. And at first, when you read it, where it talks about return, you can make the mistake of thinking, return, repent. But the wording there where it says, to dust, you're supposed to remember Genesis 3:19, where all of a sudden sin and the effects of sin is that you are going to return, right? It's one of the things we say at a committal service, right? Dust to dust, ashes to ashes, right? And so here's what God is saying. It's the effects of that sin on humanity, and obviously the sin that we continue to commit, right? It's we are going to receive judgment, wrath. For 1,000 years in your sight are but as yesterday when it is past, or as a watch in the night. You know, and here's what Moses wants to convey to you and to me, right? It's God is not bound by time. However, humanity is bound by time, right? And sometimes for us, even as we pray and we intercede on behalf of maybe our children, and we say, how much longer, Lord? Right? And we see it as a long time. Right, and but then we read verses like this: 1,000 years are like yesterday's past. Right, and these are to encourage us. Right, and this is what Peter would pick up in 2 Peter 3:8, where he would say, right, with the Lord, a day is like 1,000 years, and 1,000 years a day. Right, it isn't on behalf of God, it's on behalf of us as we experience the waiting. Right? And but I want you to hear, right? It's like there's no bitterness in his tone, right? He's not angry at God. He's just stating the facts, right? And that can help you and me, right? Because our emotions do tend to get hijacked, especially when we want something so bad. And here's the thing, right? It's a constant reminder of us taking that energy and wanting God that much, right? And trusting that he does hear us, that he will answer. You swept them away as with a flood. They are like a dream, like a grass that is renewed in the morning. In the morning, it flourishes and renews, and in the evening, it fades and withers. Right? So now he's giving it this illustration, right, of our waiting. Right? And there's something amazing that happens in the Middle East, right? It's every morning or so, right? Especially near the wilderness, the Negev, right? There's like this light sprinkling shower early in the morning. And all of a sudden, as a result of that, there's this green grass that sprouts, right? And all of a sudden, you think there's life. But usually by the afternoon, as the wind starts to pick up and the sun starts to heat up the ground, all of that grass just withers away, right? And it fades, right? And that's the picture that Moses wants us to capture here, right? It's this picture of a God who is holy, who's eternal, contrasting human shortcoming and our sinful nature. Right, as Greg said earlier, right, it's like it is a heavy psalm, right? It's because there are these two distinct pictures that Scripture is giving us. There's God and there's us, right? And sometimes we want to see ourselves so much better than how we see ourselves, but Scripture shines a magnifying glass. Scripture says, this is how you are, right? And sometimes it hurts, it cuts against the grain. For we were brought to an end by your anger, and by your wrath we are dismayed. You have set our iniquity before you, our secret sin in the light of your presence. You got to remember Moses, right, was dealing with the results of the people's sin, which is why they weren't able to go into the promised land, right? And they were on the receiving end of God's anger, right? And this is a righteous anger. This is God's wrath, right? And then he says, you have set our iniquities, right? Our sin is before you. It's the reason why at the beginning of every service, I make time for us to pray and lift up our confessions to God, right? Because we can't come here on a Sunday morning and think we don't have any, as if you're squeaky clean, right? No, they're before you, right? But then there are those things that we think nobody sees. There are those secret sins that we are still actively engaged in, right? But God sees them, right? We can't help but to have God sees them, because they're a result of those prayers that we tend to pray, especially when we say, Lord, help me. And guess what? When we pray those kind of prayers, he tends to draw us closer to him. And all of a sudden, as we get closer to a holy God, guess what shines out of your life? Your sin. Right? But this is Moses, right? Moses is leading the people. And here's what I need you to picture, right? He is probably presiding over one funeral after another funeral after another funeral as a result of the sin of the Israelites, right? He's watching his friends pass away. And now he's at a place where he has just witnessed his sister. He's tired, he acted out in sin, and now he himself is not able to get into the promised land. He presides over the funeral of his brother, Aaron, right? And he has witnessed the wrath of God, and in the midst of that, he's not blaming God. He's not cursing God, right? How did he start, right? My Lord, Adonai. For all our days pass away under your wrath. We bring our years to an end like a sigh. The years of our lives are 70 or even by reason of strength 80. Yet their span is but a toil and trouble. They are soon gone and we fly away. Right. He's been on the receiving end of God's justice. And when he says that maybe our lives are 70 or 80 years, he's not putting limitations on it. He's just saying, you know, this is how life is. Right? That even our lifespan, in reference to it being cut short, is a result of sin, right? And But he wants us to examine, right? It's how are we using the time that he has given us? Even though we are sometimes on the receiving end of God's correction. Now we come to verse 11, and when you read the Psalms, there's always a changing point, a pinnacle. Who considers the power of your anger and your wrath according to the fear of you? Right? Who considers it? And all of a sudden, in the midst of this verse, we can get a glimpse of Jesus. Right? Because he received the anger and the wrath of God. He made a way where there was no way. He was the one. Right? And all of a sudden, the psalm changes in tone. So teach us to number our days that we may get a heart of wisdom, right? You have to ask, right? Moses is asking God to teach him, right? In other words, there is something Moses doesn't know here at the end of his life. Teach us to number our days so that each day can be a day for God. Right? Some of us have planned this afternoon, right, to do what we plan to do. And the question is God going to be the primary focus of that day? Right? So that our heart would have wisdom. Right, and also in here we hear the same cry that we would have in most of book 3, right, during that time of exile. And it's where we find our answers, return, O Lord, right? And you'll notice that this Lord is a little bit different than the first Lord. This one's all caps. So this one is Yahweh. Right, and when you think of Yahweh, you have to think of the God of the covenants, the God who keeps his word, the God who's not going to break his word. Right? It's that God, right? Lord, return, right? And here's the question that you and I still have. How long? How long are we going to have to wait? And here's Moses' cry, have pity on your servants. It's what we cry today, Lord, have pity on us. Right? Sometimes we don't understand what you're doing. Sometimes we don't get what you're doing behind the scenes. Sometimes we get anxious. Sometimes I get full of fear and anxiety. And I think that for a moment, do you hear me? Right? And especially when we want something so bad, and here's what I'm going to say, right? Whatever you want, may God be that much more for you. Because that's going to make the difference in your life and in mine. Want God more. Satisfy us in the morning with your steadfast love that we may rejoice and be glad all our days. Make our glad for as many days as you have afflicted us and for as many years as we have seen evil. Right? You hear what Moses is saying, right? For all of those days that we were corrected because of our sin, Lord, may we see days filled with gladness. And here's the thing, for most of us, the days that are in front of us are shorter than the days that are behind us. But Moses wants to be satisfied. And here's the question, with what? With whom? Right, it's with God. Right, his steadfast love, the Hebrew word for that is chesed, right? And that is a picture of God's loyal kindness, right? It's a love that is never ending. It is a God that is, it's a love that's relentless, right? And it's the reason why he corrects, right? It's not as if God is going to see a sin and not respond to a sin. And then he would end with this, right? And all of a sudden you can hear the entire psalm just turning around. Let your work be shown to your servants and your glorious power to their children. Let the favor of the Lord our God be upon us and establish the work of our hands upon us. Yes, establish the work of our hands. What's the work that God has in your hands right now? That you would say, establish it. Do something with it. May you be glorified. May you be worshiped. Right, so think of that early illustration. What are you going to do with the time that's left? Right, and here's another way of seeing that same picture. Imagine that you have an hourglass filled with sand. Right, and the time that's in that hourglass is 90 years. And even right now, as you and I are talking, the sand is spilling. It's time you can't get back. You can't turn it and reset it. Right? I'll be 63, and according to what I see in my jar, I might have 20 plus years. I might have less. But what am I going to do with that time? Here's another way of looking at it. Right. How many summers do you have left? Right, and in the end, we do all of that to hear, right, what Greg told us earlier. Well done, good and faithful servant. Like, ask yourself, is there anything more important than hearing those words? And here's the reality of those words, right? That when you're honest and you start to study those words, that the only one on this side of the cross that was good and faithful was Jesus, right? And we only receive that if we have him as Lord and Savior. According to Isaiah 53, he is the one that took our iniquities. He is the one who was sinless and through obedience, right, went to the cross. He is the one at the garden who said, Lord, is there any other way? Right? Guess what he was saying at the, right? Lord, is there any other thing that we can do in order to save them? Nevertheless, not my will, your will be done. Right? And here we are. Right? He gave it all. Are you willing to give 1 month for him? And then maybe 2 months, and so on and so on, until he calls us home. Let us pray. Lord, we do thank you. Thank you for your word, which captures the relationship that Moses had with you. He was one who spoke with you. He's the one who engaged and heard your voice. He is the one that at times doubted whether he was equipped to lead the people. Scripture would tell us that he had a stutter, that maybe he wasn't able to communicate clearly. And Lord, you made it work. And it's a picture of you being able to use us to do the work that's in front of us. So Lord, we just want to thank you. Thank you for loving us. Thank you for going out of your way for us. Thank you for answering that prayer of how long. Lord, may we worship you now. We thank you and we pray all of this in Jesus' name, and all of God's people said, would you rise as we worship our God?
Thank you again for listening to today's sermon. For more resources and information about Goodwill Church, visit goodwillchurch.org. God bless.